Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A college World Series title.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So I saw an interesting tweet yesterday that a lot of Arkansas fans responded to, and I think you listeners would be interested. And I think I'm curious to know your opinions on this, not only from Tommy and I's perspective, Phil, Matt and Matty T's perspective, Ruskin and Arns' perspective. Because Mike Anderson Jr. yesterday was talking about Eric Musselman. He had this to say. Listening to the radio guys defend Muss with their last breath, they know nothing about basketball. They blame the players, which is unbelievable. Four straight losses at Bud Walton should never happen, period. And again, that's Mike Anderson Jr., the son of Mike Anderson, who still has a radio show in Fayetteville on Sundays called Man the Mic. He does it with Manny Watkins on our affiliate in Northwest Arkansas. And he also, this was what I found funny. He said he isn't a part of the program, which allows him to be objective. Tommy, do you think you could be objective to the school and university that fired your father?
Probably not, but okay. He's 1,000% right. Should never lose four straight home games.
That's true.
He's the meat of what he said, how do you even argue it? I mean, if you'd have told me that when you started conference play, there was going to be a stretch. Now, we knew that an injury could lead you to where you're at. And let's be honest, I don't think anyone believes there would be the losing streak we've seen in SEC games had you had a healthy Isaiah Joe through this stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You buying any of that? I'm not. I think Arkansas would not have lost the number of games they've lost if Isaiah Joe was there. Just look at how close these losses have been. But that's what's led you to this. He's right in what he's saying, though. Losing this many games at home in a row, four now?
So are we being too friendly towards Eric? Is the honeymoon period extension gone on too long? Because I agree with the four home wins. I'll give you that. But I think his argument that I more have a question, I don't know if I have a problem with yet, and I'm going to defer it to you at this point. Are radio hosts, like me and you, like Phil, Madden, Matty T, like Ruskin and Arns and others, are they giving Mus too much credit and not giving him enough blame as far as this losing streak is concerned and as far as this first season goes?
Well, other than the Tennessee game, where could you really point to and say the team wasn't prepared, the team wasn't in the right mindset, the team... the team wasn't coached to a point to have a chance to win. They've had a chance to win all of these games, right?
Correct.
Other than Tennessee, they've had a chance to win every one of them. They haven't lost another game by double digits other than the Tennessee game where they just got smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So now you could flip that and say, well, yeah, but a little better coaching in the final 4 or 5 minutes of the game. Maybe a different adjustment in your substitutions. Maybe drawing up a better play for Mason Jones to take a better final shot the other day in that last ball game against Mississippi State. That could have been better coaching. But I think what people are excited about, and maybe what Mike Jr. is hearing that leads him to believe that the media and radio guys like us are in general just falling all over this, guys. You see the trajectory. You see where this thing is pointed. And I think it's as much about being hopeful for what's to come in the next 365 days as it is what's over the next 6 to 5 days, you know?
Mm-hmm. Correct. So this recruiting class, it's moved down to 6. I think Michigan's moved down in front of you in both 24/7 and ESPN.com. So you're the 6th best recruiting class in the nation. Just to put that in some perspective, Mike Anderson's last 3 recruiting class, you were 157th last year, 38th in 2018, and 36th in 2017. And you managed to get 4 of the 5, quote-unquote, in-state kids, even though 2 of these kids play out-of-state at prep schools, with KK playing at Oak Hill and Moses playing in Montefiore Academy. So, and I get Mike Anderson Jr. I mean, my father, I think we've talked about this. I would defend my father like over anything. And I don't think I'm going to have to get to a point where I have to.
I've defended family members when they were wrong.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, that's,
absolutely.
That's how you're wired. And I,
you know,
so
and you do that with, and you'll learn this someday, you'll defend your kids to other people outside your home, inside your home, whole different deal. You'll defend your kids and your family, you know, to the hilt. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you do.
That's just how you're wired.
I mean, I get what's going on here.
So, on that note, I understand where he's coming from, but maybe if you listeners, if you want to call or text in 877-377-6963, are we being too soft? Is not even period over at this point?
I don't think there's been enough questioning about a few things. Again, I go back to what he said. Losing four straight at home is totally unacceptable.
I agree there. But I'm also in the camp, Tommy, where it's not all on Muss. It's not all on the players. It's somewhere in between. Because I think there's been execution issues on one end, and I also think there's been some game management stuff that he could have done differently that helped them win some of these games.
So I come back to the question, well, what should he have done differently? And when you look at his options with players, that's where I come up a little bit short on answers. I mean, I know he's played Jamario Bell here a little bit later, a little bit more recently. Ethan Henderson a little bit more recently. But he's had about 7 to 8 guys, and that's it. And because of the injury to Isaiah Joe, we've talked about this, you can't start with a four-guard lineup the way
Correct.
This team was playing at its best, reaching its best potential before the injury. Because now you've got to put Chaney and Bailey both in the lineup, so you have a guard to bring in off the bench. So you can say, well, you know, some of the blame's got to fall to the coach. I agree, but let's talk about what decisions with our basketball knowledge where it's at versus where his is at. What should he have been doing differently? Because I'm running out a lot of answers to that question when I look at the options he has when it comes to players available.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Got a text here out of the 501 saying questioning a coach and their decisions after losses is probably the easiest thing to do in the sports world. You're grabbing a low-hanging fruit there. The losses are because of multitude of reasons. Well, 501, you heard what I was saying, and this, again, it's difficult sometimes a listener to pick up on everything that the hosts say, but I said it's not just coaching, it's also playing. There's a number of different things, and you can talk about the depth, you can talk about your second-best player being out. I don't know how you took that, me saying that I'm just blaming the coach, because that's not at all what I said. I think Tommy would agree with me that it's not just coaching, and I think you'd be asinine to think that it's just coaching if that came down to that.
Well, it's the limited players you have on the bench. It's the fact that fatigue is setting in, and let's face it, as we were talking about the previous segment, this all started with Mike Anderson Jr.'s comments on Twitter about the four home losses in a row and about the state of where this is at, and him feeling like the sports talk radio media has too much love for Eric Musselman. That's where this conversation began, was Mike Anderson's son making these comments on social media. The reality is, I don't think Arkansas's in this boat. Arkansas's not sitting here at, what, was it 16 wins now and 8 nine. Conference losses?
Yeah.
16-9 and 4-8 in league play if Isaiah Joe's knee didn't have an issue. But it did. And we talked, you know, that's not coaching. That's just bad luck, you know. And the options that Eric Musselman has to replace those minutes is extremely limited. That's just the reality. Those aren't excuses. Those are reasons.
Facts.
Those are reasons.
Yeah. Ricky Greenwood says, would Mike Anderson Jr. have said this? Is his dad was still coaching there and made those excuses for his dad? And the answer is no. Again, this is what I stressed in the previous segment. I would go to extreme lengths to defend my father because he's the greatest man I've ever known. And so you're always kin to your family members, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, aunt, uncle. That's just how you react differently when it's a family member. That's just how it is. That's how we're wired as human beings. So no, he's absolutely not saying this. That doesn't, that, and again, he, some think he's right, some think he's wrong, but what Tommy said earlier is exactly right. Losing four straight home games is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. That is the portion that I completely 100% agree with Mike Anderson Jr. yet. I do have a little bit of issue him saying that we are defending Musselman to a certain extent, because I think there's been certain issues that we pointed out and said. It's just, it's difficult to boil down. Now, I'll say this. If this recruiting class comes in and they have, and they're not going to, if they have similar type of things happen next year, then I'm not going to say the honeymoon period is going to be over, but there you can criticize the coaching aspects more because the depth's not an issue, because your second best player is not going to be out. That's when you can get more into the crux of this is on coaching. Now, do I think this is going to happen? I don't think so. Based on the talent he had at Nevada and what he was able to do with it there, I think they're going to be really good next year. Will they be Final Four or Elite Eight? I don't know if you could say that.
They'll still be young.
Stretch. No. Like you said, they'll still be young. Four freshmen coming in, four very talented freshmen, but that's when you can get into more of the criticizing of coaching. Unless, now if they go 0 for the rest of the way, if Isaiah Joe comes back, that's a little less of an excuse that you can continue to use, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they struggle and all of a sudden just blow up down the stretch, the excuse is a little less valid because Isaiah Joe is back.
So, Isaiah Joe, we're hoping could be back. I don't think it will be as soon as this weekend against Missouri, but perhaps maybe it's next week against Tennessee. I think it will be one of these two home games. Is that kind of how you're leaning based on Bob Holt's report?
I would say, yeah, based on, again, Bob Holt has reported that Arkansas will not have Isaiah Joe tonight. He's practicing and stuff, and again, we'll go over that more report more in depth coming up in the program, but yeah, I would lean towards what you're saying, Tommy. Either Saturday or sometime next week.
Best case scenario might be limited minutes against Missouri on Saturday.
And do you even want to do that? That's the question you also have to ask, Tommy. Do you want to pull him back in at a point where you saw how ineffective he was and the team was when he wasn't fully healthy, or do you wait till he's fully geared up, ready to go before you bring him back into the fold? That's also a question Eric Musselman and his staff have to ask him.
You need to be at least 8-10 to have a shot at the NCAA tournament in the regular season, right? Or then your other option is what? You got to go win the whole thing in Nashville.
Which, I'm sorry, they're not going to
and
be.
And if they end up like 7-11, 6-12, you're going to have to win what? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Maybe five games in 5 days. This team isn't built to do that.
Yeah, correct.
This team is probably not built to win four games in 4 days. And to avoid that, you got to be in the top four. Mm-hmm. The top four play three games in 3 days to win the conference tournament title.
Yeah.
So their best case right now is 4 games in 4 days. I think they'll avoid the bottom four, but you've got to put yourself in a position down the stretch to avoid that bottom four, because you're not built, man, to play 5-5. You can't win 5 games in 5 days. This is not a team built to do that.
And the format that Tommy's talking about in Nashville, the SEC tournament played at Bridgestone Arena, is that the worst four teams in the SEC start on Wednesday, and then the middle four, right?
No, because the top four get a bye. You're correct.
Middle eight. Yep. Start that. They're participating in that in the Thursdays, and then the Fridays, the top four, they will finally start playing. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
single elimination. All those teams filter through.
Correct. Exactly. So you're not going to get in the top four at this point. You don't have enough gusto to get there. But like Tommy's saying, you can hopefully get in the middle pack and get closer to that top four. Excuse me. I don't know how close you're going to get. Let's go to the phone lines. 877-377-6963. Number to call or text in. Craig is in Bearden. Craig, you're on the Morning Rush.
Morning, fellas. How y'all today?
Good morning, Craig.
Hey, I'm a Tennessee fan who's trying to be an Arkansan fan. I should say Arkansan. I don't know how to even say that anymore. I am an Arkansan now, but it's not Arkansas. I know that. Anyhow, I'm going to get off that subject.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble if you keep going down that road.
Yeah. I'm an Arkansas fan. I try to be as objective about it, but, you know, I heard, and I'm not going back, I know we're, but I hear the same talk about Sam Pittman. But I heard the same exact talk about Chad Mark, you know, and the problem is you just don't have enough information to be anything but on the good side, because if you don't have the resume, the wins and losses, you don't have anything else to critique. And so I believe y'all are overly, right, the media in general, especially the afternoon show, man, you act like Musselman's the second coming. And he might be the next great thing. You know, I think he's a great coach, but there's just not enough information out there to be giving this guy this much. There just doesn't seem to be enough objectivity on the places where he's mismanaging clock or mismanaging the last 4 minutes. You know, I can sit down, for example, on the Tennessee side.
Regular season Rick.
Yeah, but buddy, I think he's, I don't think there's much excuse for the, even though we lost 5-4 guys in the NBA last year, I don't think there's an excuse for the record Tennessee has right now. We got a loaded class coming in next year. Oh, boy, we got a loaded class next year. Bullcrap, man. There's no the turnovers and the crap. It just looks to me like there's some bad coaching going on. However, I'm not ready to fire the guy. I just don't think I don't think he's the second coming of John Wooden either. And so, in my opinion, I've talked, just blah, blah, blah. But, I think y'all are overly positive about Musselman. I think the same thing is true about Sam Pittman. Now, I think Pittman's a good hire. I like the guy. He's a coach's coach. I like that about him. But I don't hear any of the, what's the potential downside here. But I don't know how you guys can help it, truth be known. I mean, you really look at, there's a side of me that says, daggum, what Musselman's doing with what he's got is pretty awesome. But these last 4 home losses, you got to fess up and say, that's not acceptable based on just what that – Arkansas's home court is one heck of an advantage.
Yeah.
And you know it. There's no way you ought to lose 4 in a row just on the roll of the dice. You shouldn't lose 4 in a row in that home court. And not many people are squawking about it. Yeah, he's defending his daddy. I defend my daddy, too. You know, can't blame the guy for that. But I think he's got a heck of a valid point. Nobody's squawking about that. He's the only guy I've heard squawk about it. Him squawking about it took y'all talking about it. You understand what I'm saying? Why didn't one of the other people that's not related...
What he is really saying, Craig.
And Craig, thanks for the call.
What he's really saying, Craig, is he doesn't think Eric Musselman is being treated the same way his dad was treated. He feels what he's really saying without saying it is that guys like me and Ty, guys like Derek and Zach, were more critical of his father than we are of Eric Musselman. Well,
who's Derek?
Huh?
Who's Derek?
Derek Ruskin.
I'm just
you know, that's what he's really saying is that he doesn't think the coverage is fair, the opinions are fair. Well, the reality is you've got less than a full season with one coach, and you don't have a full painted picture, and you knew exactly what you had with Mike Anderson because you had 8 seasons.
Correct.
So if we were sitting here in year 8 of Eric Musselman, our opinions would be different. But we're sitting here in month 8 of Eric Musselman.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly.
Correct.
So, I mean, there is a vast difference of what we're talking about.
And again, Craig, and I mentioned this earlier, there is a honeymoon period with every single coach, for the most part, across the board in collegiate sports. There was a honeymoon period with Jeremy Pruitt. They were terrible his first year, and they actually got things back on track his second season. I'm sure you can attest to that. You probably listen to Tennessee Sports Talk Radio, whether it's Jimmy Himes, whether it's Will West, whether it's other guys doing stuff in the Knoxville or Nashville area. There's always going to be that period every single time, because our sports writer, a TV guy, TV gal, a radio host, they're not going to come in guns hot. They're not going to come in guns blazing to the people listening or wherever the listening area is and say, this guy sucks. That's just not how it works in the media. There is a grace period that happens. Now, if the coach starts losing, then you get a little more fired up and you start saying stuff that you feel a little more comfortable with. But relationships in this industry, You don't want to damage something from the start. Now, I've asked the question, and people got mad at me for this, asking, why do you think a coach that's never coached at Division I level, referring to Sam Pittman, is going to be successful? And I got a bunch of responses to that, and I have never said once that this guy is going to fail at Arkansas, but even questioning the fact, people get mad at you for that, because what's happened with Arkansas basketball and Arkansas football, one's a little different than the other. The Arkansas football program has been abysmal these last few years. So any glimmer of hope, any sliver of hope that Arkansas fans grasp onto, they want to keep it, and they want it to keep going up. They want to go to that area, but they haven't been able to. As far as the basketball circuit goes, you've had some success under Mike Anderson, but you plateaued. That's where you, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You plateaued. You had no business.
You went as far as you were
going to
go.
Yeah, and you had no business not going to the NCAA tournament last year. Arkansas should be consistently in NCAA tournament. They didn't go last year. They made a change, and this is where you're at right now,
Greg. I've always been a big believer. People don't get mad when they get what they expect, even when it's bad. And there wasn't a lot of expectation on this season. So we've kind of recalibrated what we've expected based on the way they played in November and December and the early part of the conference schedule. Fans would have been done a better service, if you will, and honestly, with the way the injury lined up with Isaiah Joe, if you'd have played some of these tougher teams that you hit in the middle stretch of this conference slate, if you'd have played some of them early, you'd have had a better, more accurate picture of where this team's really at. True?
That's fair.
Fair?
Yeah.
You know, so the reality is none of us had the expectations of this team. You know, we were sitting here preseason calculating, how do you get to 18 wins? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if they can get this one at home and steal this one on the road, and we didn't think they'd do as well as they did in non-conference play. We weren't sitting here talking 20 wins before the season started with this basketball team. And then, pardon me, once things got going, we're talking, I remember sitting here a month ago talking, well, you know, the trend they're on, this was before Isaiah Joe's injury, the trend they're on, 22-23, if everything went right, 24 wins going to Nashville. Well, I mean, we've had to reassess our expectations again. And that's just the reality is we didn't expect much going into this year. That's why Musk was put on a little more of a pedestal, because he's exceeded expectations to this point.
I'd like to ask Mike Anderson Jr. about Jimmy Witt, what his opinions and thoughts were, and the fact that he transferred out of his dad and then came in during Eric Musselman. That would be a good question to ask. This is from Dustin on our Facebook page, Tommy. He said someone informed Mike Anderson Jr. that these players are his father's players, and they're playing under Eric Musselman, and he wants to see what actually happens when someone gets here and recruits high-quality players and what the future holds.
Yes and no. I mean, Jimmy Witt's not playing again at Arkansas if Mike Anderson's still the head coach. That's one of the biggest things about Eric Musselman and his coaching presence of being here is Jimmy Witt's back, and he's been the glue guy. You know, now recently he's had this back issue or nagging injury, whatever's been going on the last 2 weeks.
The nerve thing that we haven't heard about you lately.
But before that, even in the early stages of Isaiah Joe's absence, he was adding 20 to Mason Jones' 30. And those two were combining for 50-plus. And that's why you could still win some of those games. And then when his problems flared up and it really became all on Mason Jones, it was just more than this team could bear at that point. Not that he was missing a lot of minutes. He was still playing a lot of minutes. He just wasn't they hadn't been as effective minutes, right? And then this team's out there on tape more. That's the other thing. The SEC's got good coaches. Arkansas's not the only team with a good coach in this league. There's other teams that got advanced scouting. They got film. They got people that can break you down.
Who figure out how
to defend you.
Who have better players.
Right. Bigger players, more physical players. And what has been the Achilles heel for Arkansas? Big physical teams. When you play physically tough teams, Arkansas struggles. And they've taken it to the Hogs.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you're just jumping in here, we're talking about Mike Anderson Jr.'s comments about us radio guys defending Eric Musselman with our last breath. If you want to get in on the conversation, 877-377-6963. Ricky in Greenwood says he comes across as bitter by saying this things. Another text out of Greenwood, this one is from Sean. When we were winning, we loved the fact that Musk coaches like an NBA team. The last possession was an NBA-style play, and it gets it to your playmaker to tell him to go make a play. That's a good point. but the legs, the fact that you don't have Isaiah Joe to space the floor, which crowds it for Mason, because it, you know what's incredible to me, Tommy, is that Mason's been able to put up these performances despite the fact that the entire defensive game plan for the opposing team is centered around him. Now, I know he struggled against Mizzou. I know he struggled against Tennessee, but he's still able to do this. Do you know how difficult that was? Like, do you remember watching LeBron James and Allen Iverson in the 2000s? I don't know how much NBA you watch, but
oh, tons.
The surrounding tons. And
that's why I don't get any sleep. I stay up, watch NBA all night.
The surrounding cast, Tommy, of Allen Iverson's 2000, it would have been 2000 or 2001 team was horrible.
Yeah, I don't
The surrounding
that.
Cast of LeBron James' early Cavaliers days was horrible.
I did see him in 06 when Arkansas played in Atlanta against against Florida in that SEC championship game. We walked over to the Phillips Arena right next to the old Georgia Dome and watched him play. That's the only time I've seen LeBron in person.
But the point I'm trying to make is the guys that they had surrounded, they couldn't score.
Yeah.
And it was a mirror. It was just, it was unbelievable to watch these guys. And they're not the only two guys to do it, but it was unbelievable to watch them still put up 30 or 40 and still have an incredible, which just
shows you the talent.
Yeah, no talent. And I don't know if you could say this Arkansas basketball team surrounding Mason is that bad in comparison to the other NBA players and stuff, but it's still not great. He's still having to do things way above what he was asked last year, and he's still able to overcome a lot of the defensive attention that he's
getting. How many other SEC schools could Reggie Chaney start for?
I don't know.
How many other schools could Adriel Bailey be in their starting five?
That's the question you have to ask.
I mean that's you just keep going down the roster. Jalen Harris. You just keep asking about guys. And that's where this program is going to turn to corners when you start playing talent in all five spots that are good enough to start at most league schools. Arkansas's got a lot of guys that couldn't start at the majority of league schools right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Musselman's coached them up. But there's only so much you can, there's only so far you can go. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think that's where...
Stop defending Musselman, Tommy.
I think that's where you're at.
Apparently, we're defending him too much.
Hey, we're brought to you by Pinnacle Telecom. That's who we use here at the Morning Rush Studios for our phone call, our phone lines, our internet service. If your company is out there and struggling for a solution for high-speed internet and business telephone solutions, let me recommend Pinnacle Telecom. They're locally owned, locally operated. I like it because Scott Winter's my guy. So anytime I have an issue, day or night, I can call or text. I have a cell phone number. And that's the kind of relationships you can build with a company like Pinnacle Telecom, where you always get a live person. Even if you call their number at 242-0000, gives you a couple of quick options. And when you hit the tech support option, it's just a matter of seconds, not minutes, till you're talking to a real person to help you get through whatever issue is facing you. It's rare that we have a problem with our internet or phone, but when we do, they're on site to fix it quickly if needed. Oftentimes, whatever the issue is, they can either walk us through resetting something here, or they can fix the problem from their home office. So if you're wanting high-speed internet at your business, you're wanting a great business telephone system, Pinnacle Telecom can help you with it. 479-242-0000.
Haven't heard from this guy in a while. Gary in Arkadelphia texts in, ever since the last 8 minutes of the Kentucky game where Eric Musselman was out coached by assistant, completely agree with that. This team hasn't been the same. Their confidence is shot. Early in the year, I believe this team couldn't lose. Now I don't believe they can win. That is an example, if you want to point to getting out coached, which hasn't happened many times this season. That is one you can point to, Tommy. He was thoroughly out coached, and I'm forgetting the assistant's name. It's not Barbie. It's the other guy, and I'm blanking on the coach's assistant's name. Barbie was the one that did the zone, and for the life of me, we interviewed him. I just cannot think of his name, but that's an example that you can point to. But there's just not many of them. There's not many of them at all. Don in Greenwood says, leave coach alone. Apparently, he's on the must bus. He says, sounds like his son is jealous, and jealousy is never an attractive quality. He thinks the must bus is going to start rolling next year. I think what you brought up earlier is a good point. We're not only seeing what we saw earlier in the season, but we're also projecting. The whole idea is, what's going to happen next year when he gets this top sixth recruiting class in here. What's going to happen when he has another year of some of these guys under the system? Because he's still bringing guys back. It's not you're not recycling and completely getting a new roster, depending on what Mason Jones does, depending on what Isaiah Joe does, depending on what the transfers. You're still going to have a decent amount of these guys that are on this team that are going to be that much better with the additions in this recruiting class next year.
Kenny Payne, I think, is the name you were looking for.
Kenny Payne. Yeah, that's it.
So,
thanks, Matt.
Yeah, I think that's what we're betting on the come here. We're betting on the future of this program. We're betting on the fact that what we've already seen with Musselman taking the team he's had, where he's gotten them two with 16 wins to this point, even though lately it's been less than satisfying for anyone involved, but we can understand the reasons why. We see the talent that's on the way. So I think next year, season tickets are, while they may not sell out the arena with season tickets, there's going to be a definite uptick for people that are buying full season tickets next year. I don't think there's any question about that.
And I know
that's an easy one.
That high school players, not only in football, basketball, baseball, they don't always translate. But if you haven't gotten a chance to watch Moses Moody, KK Robinson, Devontae Davis, or Jalen Williams, whether in person or on TV with KK and Moses, you're missing out. They are fun to watch.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Tom Murphy is sitting there talking with us this morning. Tom, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us a little earlier and making some time for us, as always, on Tuesday.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Hatch it up, man. What do y'all want to talk about?
Let's talk about this baseball team first, man. I know you got to take in, you saw what Connor Nolan did on Friday, you saw what Heston did over the weekend, we saw some young bucks do what they did for the Arkansas baseball team in their first couple starts. What was your overall takeaway from what you saw from the Omahawks this weekend?
Yeah, just pretty much a standard practice for these Razorbacks. Some veteran hitters getting the job done, like Kerstad, and some good work from some of the newcomers like Braden Webb. Looks like he's going to be a spark plug in the leadoff hole. Robert Moore hit the ball hard a couple times and had the wind knock down some shots to right field, but looks like he'll be on track. You know, Casey Martin struggled for the first day. Didn't see a lot of pitches on day two, but he got a double off the – I mean, he crushed the ball, his first hit off the third baseman's glove, and then he had a better day to wrap up the series. So just kind of the things that you'd expect. I mean, Blake Adams, a little nervous probably, didn't locate like he wanted to on his breaking stuff, so they set on his fastball and hit him a little bit. So he'll probably be more settled down in his next outing, but the competition is going to increase. So this Gonzaga four-game series, this is the kind that I think Dave Van Horn really likes. You know, you get four games in a row. That means you got to use another starting pitcher. You got to get nine more innings out of your staff. So they get some other guys some work this week. And Gonzaga's a real test. They've had Arkansas's number at neutral sites and here over the last several years. So it's going to be an intriguing series.
So you mentioned Casey, Tom. At one point in time, he was the number one prospect on D1 Baseball's 2020 board. And I think he's dropped a little bit in the ranking, still has the potential to be a first-round pick. What do you think he has to improve on the most to up his draft stock as much as possible after this season?
Well, he talked about it in preseason. He was very open about it. I've got to slow myself down. He said, I want to go so fast, I get a little jumpy. So that means he's jumping at heaters up in the zone. He's jumping at some breakers to go out of the zone. And on defense, just getting ahead of himself some. Now, he didn't get his glove down for, you know, the first round of the year. It went under his glove, but he looked better on defense. And I think he got better as the series went on. It's really just about, you know, mental discipline. What are they trying to throw me? Can I see the pitch, recognize, you know, if there's what the spin is on the pitches, and do I need to attack them or lay off? And so many people know that he loves to attack early that sometimes they take advantage of that.
Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, with us here on the Morning Rush. Let's talk some basketball. The Hogs play early tonight at 6 o'clock on the road at Florida. I was just looking kind of back over the schedule. The last time Arkansas won a basketball game was February the 1st at Alabama, which happens to be the last game Isaiah Joe actually played in. He was played sparingly at Alabama. The last time this team won a home game in league play was January 15th. They did beat TCU, but that's not a league game. Tom, this is a team that's struggling, whether it's at home, struggling on the road, and it seems like, you know, when you really look at it, you can definitely draw a line between that February 1 win at Alabama when Isaiah Joe last played and what's happened since then. And some of the reasons why this team is struggling right now is Isaiah Joe is not in the lineup.
Yeah, you sure can draw a line there. And I know I was on with you guys after they had beaten TCU, and I really liked the way Desi attacked the rim, Desi Sills. And I'm not sure he's getting into the paint quite as much as he did in that game in these last few. So there's some things going on. I mean, I think defensively also they're not quite as sharp, and maybe their legs aren't under him as good late in games as they were early in the season. So a lot of factors at play. The way defenses handle you because you don't have Isaiah Joe, which means more attention on Mason Jones trying to limit his driving. And so they give up some other things. I mean, Jalen Harris's three-point shooting has fallen away. So, you know, Sills and Jones are really the guys that you have to watch on the perimeter, and Adriel Bailey a little bit. But it's amazing to me that a team that is competitive as they are, and really they're a quality team, but you almost feel bad for them. I mean, if I bet there were young kids across Arkansas who some of them might have been crying on Saturday. That was such a heartbreaking loss, the way they lost it to Mississippi State, to fight back from 17 down. So your heart goes out to them. You know they're fighting, but I cannot picture a team this solid to lose four games, conference games in a row at home. It's just amazing, you know, that there have been – some bad team. I mean, John Pelfrey had a 2-14 conference team several years ago, and I don't think they did this. So you heard for them, and it's going to be tough against Florida. You know, they've come with some up-and-down performances this year because they're so young, but they've been getting better and better. So tonight's going to be a real tough assignment.
Yeah, it's just a month ago or certainly early January, it was hard to imagine this team would be in the free fall that they're in now. But let's talk about that game tonight. Florida 16-9, 8-4 in league play. They're trying to elevate where they're at in the league to catch up to the big boys, which right now Auburn and Kentucky and LSU are all tied up there at the top. This is a critical game for for Mike White and his crew, just as much as it is for Arkansas to try to get back on the winning way.
Yeah, it is. Florida right now projected, you know, around a 10 or 11 seed, and they've got a really tough finishing schedule. They play Kentucky again. I looked at this yesterday, but they've got some tough games to close out. So this is a big game for them. They know that. And Kentucky has nosed ahead a little bit by a game over LSU and Auburn. So there's a big fight. You know, Florida's in that fight with South Carolina and Mississippi State and a couple of others for, you know, the double bye at the tournament. So a lot of compelling factors for them to play well. Noah Locke has been unreal from three-point range. So, you know, that's one of the first assignments for Arkansas. Obviously, Kerry Blackshear, you got to try to limit what he does inside along with Johnson. And then they've got a nice rotation. Nimhard kind of runs the deal. And so there's a lot of attention that the Razorbacks going to have to play to different guys in this game tonight and hope that they shoot well. The opponent's shooting percentage has been a problem in these last few games. So they got to defend better to have a chance to beat the Gators.
Talking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, I think it's since 95 was the last time that the Razorbacks went down to Gainesville and pulled out a dub. What's the deal with that, man? Why do they struggle so much playing down in Florida?
Yeah, that's a tough environment. They've had great teams. I mean, they honored Billy Donovan on their court Saturday mm-hmm. because of his prowess. Two national championships there. And I was at a game there a few years ago that Moses Kingsley was on the team, I remember. And he got called for a flagrant foul on an unbelievably bad call. and it was when they were getting back in the game and had a chance, and it affected. That call made the difference late in the game. And so things like that happen to you down there, too. Some teams, you know, it just happens on their home court sometimes. But they've been a quality opponent. They've had a series of fantastic playmakers in at the guard spots, and they just had a good roster. And so they're difficult to beat down there, no question.
So Reggie Perry, Arkansas, at one point he was committed to Arkansas. He ends up choosing Mississippi State, former teammates with a couple of AAU guys now currently on Arkansas. And that's painful for Arkansas fans to see this guy dominate not only the SEC, but the Razorbacks. It's not the same degree, but for a guy you recruited in Kerry Blackshear, and I know he's not putting up 20-10, but he's still a really good post player for Florida. And I know a lot of people ask the question, what would this team look like with Kerry Blackshear? So, Tom, I'll ask you, how much different would the outlook of this program be right now, just this year, if Kerry Blackshear had chosen the Arkansas Razorbacks?
Well, even if he was a minimal scorer, just his rebounding alone would be huge for this team. I mean, when you think of what they've overcome to get where they were, and I agree with you guys, who could have imagined 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago this team would go into a free fall? Nobody could have. But defensive rebounding and offensive has been a huge part of this. And a guy like Blackshear or a guy like Perry, you plug either one of those guys on this team, and, I mean, you can envision 4 or 5 wins, you know, easily on some of these tight games. I mean, it's been one painful loss after another where if you get one more defensive board, that could be the difference in the game. If there had been a huge body in there when Tyson Carter missed that shot the other day, maybe that guy either gets his hands on the ball and secures it or tips it away and there's no time left. I mean, that's how heartbreaking and, you know, thin line that loss was the other day. So, yeah, he would have made a difference. And, you know, you can't cry over something that's done. But, yeah, if you try to envision Arkansas with a Perry or a Blackshear, it's a different roster for sure.
All right, Hogs 4-8 in SEC play, 6 games left. They're tied for 10th right now in the league. Isaiah Joe read what Bob wrote earlier. Maybe a return in the next week or so is what they're hoping. Forecast the future here for us, Tom. Is this a team that could climb their way back into consideration? Their net ranking is still decent in the SEC.
Yeah.
What is the reasonable future for this Arkansas team as far as looking ahead and playing their way to some kind of postseason position?
Yeah, they've got to. First of all, they've got to win out at home, I think. And so there'd be a quality chance against LSU in there. Tennessee's coming. So there's still some games that help you out. I mean, you got to go on the road and beat Georgia. I mean, you've got to rebound and show that there's some life to you. And, I mean, they showed that against Mississippi State, but you got to start winning the game.
Yeah.
So it starts with getting W's. And then when Joe gets back, maybe – you know, obviously those minutes help the rotation, and maybe you pull out an upset or so. If they beat Florida tonight, that would be a huge feather in their cap, you know. So Jerry Palm still had them in the field in a play-in game, and someone else did as well. So if they can recover and win out of these last 6, if they can win maybe 4 of those, mm-hmm. and maybe win a game in the tournament or two, then they could have a chance. The odds don't look good for that to happen right now based on trends.
And this is
so they're going to have to play outside of trends.
We were talking earlier, you know, if you don't win 4 of 6 and you've got to put yourself in a position where you don't have to play on Wednesday in Nashville, and you're teetering right now on that at 10th in the league. You've got to play your way out of that because, Tom, this is not a team that can win 5 in 5 days. I'm not sure they can win 4 in 4 days. In Nashville, and
yeah.
You know, I don't know that this is going to be a team that wins the SEC tournament, but this could be a team that could make a run, but their bench and the lack of a bench is not going to, I think, bode well for them come conference tournament time.
No, all of those factors kind of add up to they're going to have to do something a little bit extraordinary. I mean, the thing is, teams like Ole Miss that are right around them in the standings are playing a whole lot better right now. So they got a ways to go. Getting Isaiah Joe to back would certainly be of help, and just pulling an upset. I mean, maybe you could shoot 55% from the field tonight and beat Florida and limit their 3-point shooting. frustrate Locke and them and get them out of sorts. But like I said, that's going to be something that they're out of the ordinary, and maybe they can pull that off tonight.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at TomMurphyADG. Tom, appreciate the time, man. We'll talk on Thursday, buddy.
You betcha. We'll talk about the rotation Arkansas plans to use against Gonzaga, because that will be quite intriguing, whether they bring Noland and Wicklander back a day early or put those guys on their normal days and start a different dude on Thursday.
Tommy was talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the office with a 4-game series with Gonzaga, knowing you go to Houston the following week. That makes it very interesting to see, what do you do against Gonzaga? Do you keep the rotation and the routine the same, or do you mix it up? Plus, you get to kind of identify a fourth starter for your midweek games.
Absolutely, you get to do that. That's why I think Dave Van Horn loves the way this series sets up and then puts them into Houston next week. So we'll find out more about that today. We talked to Dave and some players.
All right, Tom, thanks for joining us this morning.
You betcha. See y'all.
All right, Tom Murphy here on The Morning Rush, brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas. Hey, they have the perfect solution for buying a pool without breaking the bank. It's a semi-in-ground pool that you can check out right now at Burton Pools and Spas, starting under $10,000. So if you've always wanted a pool in your backyard that's permanent, you'll take up and down every year, and you don't want to break the bank, Burton's has the solution for you with these semi-in-ground pools that are on sale right now, and they're only at Burton Pools and Spas. In Springdale, you'll find them off I-49 at the 412 exit, and in Fort Smith on 0 Street at 6121 0 in Fort Smith. Semi-in-ground pools from Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun, and online at burtonpools.com.
Tommy asked Tom the question, asking the scenario the rest of the way. What does the projections look like? Do they still have a shot at the NCAA tournament? So I'll lay it out for you. Arkansas is 48 right now in the net rankings as of last night. Florida's at 35, so it's a quad one opportunity on the road. You got top 75 on the road, and it's 35, so it's easy quad one. Missouri's at 88. That'll be quad two. Tennessee, 62. That's also quad two. Georgia's at 100. That's a quad two, even though it's on the road. LSU's at 29, quad one. And A&M is a 132, and I think that's a quad three. I don't remember that correct. I'd have to go back and look.
It's at a
that.
Can't lose.
Yeah, you can't lose that basketball game. But if you look at Arkansas' season so far, and the status from Blake Lovell, who we're having on in about 30 minutes or so, SEC Locked On Basketball Podcast, 9 losses on the season, 8 losses by 7 points or less, 5 losses by 4 points or less, 3 overtime losses. They've had a lot of bad things go against them, Tommy.
And missing one of their best players.
Correct. Yeah. Which is probably the biggest issue. And that's why Miss Lisa from Northwest Arkansas said that Arkansas should have paid for Reggie Perry services. That's why.
Hard to disagree
with it.
Because
Mississippi State did.
Yeah. Well,
supposedly is the word on the block that everyone likes to cling to, but we don't know if there's actually any evidence to that whatsoever.
I think what Tom was saying is exactly the scenario. Probably doesn't start with a win tonight at Florida. That's going to be tough. You mentioned the historical reference that Arkansas hasn't won much there in not just the last few years, like the last 25 years. Like in your lifetime, they don't win much in Gainesville or at all. You know, just
both basketball and football.
Tough place. So it starts this weekend, and you got to win all those home games we were talking about. And that's something Arkansas hasn't been doing. You got to beat Missouri, Tennessee, LSU all at home. And then I think at least beat A&M on the road. If you could close out with 5 of 5, that would mean probably 1, Isaiah Joe is back and healthy. And 2, you get back on your roll. That would get you to 21 wins. I don't think that's the way it's going to go. That would be like best case scenario. But if you can win 4 of these last 6 somehow, that keeps you out of that bottom 4 in the league, probably get you a little better seating in that middle 4 group or middle 8 group, and gives you a chance to maybe go win 3 games in the conference tournament. That might be enough to get you there as like a 9 seed or something.
So you're saying that by saying 3 games that they started on Thursday, Friday, you say they'd put them in the SEC championship?
That might be what this team has to do.
Well, yeah, that would be something at this team. And
that'd be 23 wins at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a net ranking, I'm going to guess, 35 to 40, 38, 30. I'm purely guessing there.
We've seen this team get to the championship in Nashville. We saw it in 2015. We saw it in 2017. Now, you got a couple different players. I think, I'm trying to think, is Adrio the only leftover from that 2017? I'm trying to think.
When did, because Chaney wasn't there yet.
Yeah, Chaney wasn't there. Joe wasn't there. Jones wasn't there. Mm-mm. I believe that, and I don't think Ethan was a freshman yet. I could be wrong. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that team that made it to the SEC tournament in 2017, that would have been, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm just saying, when you get Isaiah Joe back and the first time he has 25 or 30, this team's going to be re-energized.
Yeah, but enough to get them 5 out of 6, well, 4 out of 6.
I'm just trying to find the best case scenario here.
No, I know. But, I mean, our job is to question if that's right. Going to happen. Because, I mean, you can always hope for the best. Like,
well, there's other teams that are sitting around the same record right now. South Carolina is another team right now that needs a lot of good things to happen and then go to Nashville and have good things to happen. Arkansas's net ranking still in a position. Now, they're going to play their way out of that. You keep losing.
Yeah, regardless if they're close or not.
Right.
You just keep losing.
You just keep losing. You just keep falling. But the reality is Arkansas's net ranking still a lot better than some teams that are ahead of them in the SEC standings.
Mm-hmm. So you have, let's see, Florida's a quad one opportunity and LSU. So those are the only two that you have remaining quad one opportunities.
You got to beat Missouri and you got to beat A&M. Those are ones you just don't need to lose. And we talked about that with the Missouri game back on February 8th. You just can't lose that game. Well, they did. Can't lose it again.
And I'm wondering, with Jerry Palm, we mentioned the CBS sports guy, and Lenardi doesn't have Arkansas in at this point, but Jerry Palm, and there's like one other pretty notorious guy that has Arkansas in the play-in game, which will play at Dayton. Which, by the way, would we go to that?
To Dayton?
Yeah.
Can you get to Dayton from here on short notice?
Probably a direct flight.
It's a two. I'm sure there's a direct flight.
What is that, is that a Monday or Tuesday? Is it a Monday and Tuesday night, or is it Tuesday?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
There's a direct flight.
We
can figure it
out. Ain't no direct flight.
So that's something to think
direct
about.
Direct drive.
But I'm wondering with those guys that are projecting Arkansas at that point, is that contingent on Isaiah Joe coming back?
I don't think you can win enough games without Isaiah Joe coming back.
Yeah. So I guess they're holding.
Is there any reason to believe they're going to win 4 of 6 without Isaiah Joe down this stretch?
From what you've seen to this point, no.
Because
you've lost 7 of 8.
You probably win
games.
Maybe 2 of 6. Maybe.
I don't even know if you do that.
Exactly. So you're not getting in at 2 of 6.
It's amazing how much one player can affect
a team in general,
especially in basketball.
Thin. Yeah.
And you think about, like, okay.
It'd be the same thing if Mason Jones was injured.
I think it'd be worse.
Maybe worse. You're right.
Because of the ability of point, like, Mason Jones can do a lot more than just shoot. Now, I know Isaiah Joe has improved a couple other things, his defense and stuff, but he's still not the same all-around player that Mason is.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR.
All right, let's get into some Would You Rather Tuesday.
The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink.
Come on, you gotta be kidding me.
It's a tough choice.
How can you know all that?
There's just so many options.
Hey, would you rather?
All right, Matt. You broke the mic on the Morning Rush yesterday. You're gonna do it again.
Let's do it.
If Tommy yells at you, you can blame me because this is the segment I created. So, well, not really created, but I copied off of. So,
everything in radio is stolen, so don't worry about it.
Exactly. I love when people say, oh, this was my original idea. Well,
there are no original ideas. Yeah,
you got it from somewhere.
They've all
you
been
got,
taken.
You got some portion of it from somewhere. So, kick things off, man.
Would you rather Tuesday? Would you rather see Jimmy Witt go for 20-plus tonight or the team shoot 80% from the free throw line?
Ooh. Jimmy Witt. Say that again. Jimmy Witt does what?
Jimmy Witt.
I got caught up in the 80% of the free throw line.
Would you rather see Jimmy Witt go for 20-plus tonight? Or the team shoot 80% or more from the free throw line.
Well, I wish I knew what Mason Jones had to go with that 20-plus. Because I think if Mason Jones has 30...
You can make it up. You can say Mason
okay,
goes for 40.
If Mason Jones goes for 33 and he goes for 20, they win the ball game. I think.
Don't say that if that happens. Oh, man. Yeah, this one's tough. I feel like this was a good decent one. Question because, I mean, the free throw line.
I'll take the points. I'll take the guaranteed points. I don't know. 80% if you go, okay, if you go 4 for 5 in the game, I mean, if you go, you know, so if you go 8 for 10 in the game, that's probably not going to get it done. So I'll take the guaranteed 20 out of Jimmy Witt.
You went 88% against Mississippi State. You shoot 23 for 26, and you still lost the ball game. You haven't had, I think Jimmy got going a little bit against Tennessee, but you haven't had a peak Jimmy Witt performance in quite some time. So I'm going to say Jimmy. I'm going to agree with you, Tommy. I say Jimmy goes for 20-plus. I don't know if you get the win if that happens, but I think you're more likely to get closer to a win even if the team shoots really good for the free throw line. They really need both tonight. Let's just be honest. There's no would-you-rather when it comes to this. I know this is a segment, but... Man, you'd love the team that shoot over 80% at the charity stripe and Jimmy Witt eat up a little bit.
That's a good question. That's a good one there to start the segment.
Thank you. God,
man, you're doing good over there.
Matt, way to go coming up with that question. You have your presence has improved the segment already.
It's improved the show, too. That's the
second youngest radio host
in the room.
We're keeping it at 80% on the second one. Would you rather see Isaiah Joe come back 80% healthy on Saturday or 100% healthy next week?
And then we argue a little bit about this earlier. So I'm
Isaiah Joe coming back at 80% healthy on Saturday or 100% next week.
I'll take the. I think 80% of Isaiah Joe is better than 100% of some of the guys that are having to play now. And you can limit his minutes. Just because he comes back does not mean he has to play 40. He can come back at 80%, work his way to. Because he's not going to come back at 100%. The knee may be 100%. He's not going to be 100%. You can't miss this stretch of games. The conditioning, the shooting,
and
the rhythm, all of that can't be. He's not going to be 100% regardless.
Then single that out. If his knee's not 100, then if you want to narrow it down, which is fine.
Yep. I'll take him at less than 100% over some of the guys they're being forced to give more minutes to right now. Because you're not forced to give Isaiah Joe 40 minutes or 30 minutes. He can come in at 80% and play 15, 18, 20 minutes. And still give your chance he gives your team a better chance to win, even at 80%. I'll take him at 80% for limited minutes.
So I'm going to disagree with you, and I might disagree with a lot of people, because Tommy, what was his production like when he was injured?
When he was injured, his shooting, his jump shot was way off.
And not fully healthy.
Right.
So his production was...
Do you think he was at 80%?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I don't think he was.
Okay, so what if you had to put a percentage on it, what would you say it was?
Less than 50.
Okay. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was bad.
Are we talking about his knee or his overall?
His knee.
Overall, I think his knee was less than... It was clearly swollen. It was clearly sore. And I'm just basing that on what Eric Musselman said.
Okay.
I didn't examine it. I didn't look at it. I just know his shot was off. His shots weren't going in. And in the second game, he wasn't taking shots. I just know what Eric Musselman was saying.
Okay, so here's what I'm looking at. He went off against Ole Miss. You don't win that game without his 34-point performance. But when he did aggravate the knee and then re-aggravated against Mississippi State, I'm going to read off these numbers. 4 for 11 against Vandy, 3 for 11 against Kentucky, 1 for 8 against Mississippi State, 5 for 14 against South Carolina, and 0 for 3 against Alabama. Those are his 3-point shooting statistics. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, he still provides that. But the thing that Phil always brings up, and I think he brings up a good point. When Isaiah Joe is on the floor and he is fully healthy, he is 100% valuable to his... His presence is unbelievable. But, there's a but in there. When he is on the floor not fully healthy and not giving you what he typically does, as a fully healthy Isaiah Joe does, the team almost is waiting on him to go off. They're waiting for him to go off. And so they're not in necessarily attack mode. They're just kind of, oh, we'll pass it to him. He's going to shoot it. We don't have to do it as much. I know it's a small example, and I know they've lost a lot of games, 7 of 8 conference games lately. But you saw the TCU game, what this team can do with Isaiah Joe out. You haven't seen it really since. I know Alabama, that's another win, but... I feel like I'm going against my conscience saying this, but I would rather have him next week fully ready to go. If he starts, he starts, comes off the bench, whatever, then whatever percentage he is. Now,
I disagree, but I see where you're coming
from.
I see your point, but I disagree with you.
And that's fine. That's what, I mean, Tommy, if we agreed on everything,
I mean,
this show would suck.
My point is you've got two players that are clearly more elite than the rest of the team.
Correct.
And he is one of those two. And this is a different team when he is out there playing. Him at 80%, Isaiah Joe at 80%, is still better than any other option you have. Put him out there. If that is the facts, if that indeed is the option you're faced with, play him.
Okay.
And he doesn't have to play 40 minutes. He doesn't have to play 20 minutes. Him for 15 or 18 minutes is better than what you've done the last three or four ball games.
Cool. All right. This will be interesting. I'm curious to see what Tommy's answer is on this one, Matt.
If you have to watch a full season of The Bachelor or Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which one are you going to watch? Or which would you rather watch, a full season of The Bachelor?
You have to do one.
Is Ice Pick in the Eye a third option?
I think you need your vision to be a general manager of the radio station,
right? I think I would go Bachelor. Just because there's at least some kind of... Well, there's no plot or substance to either show. Now, I've not spent...
True love, Tommy.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Can't forget that.
With the Kardashians, you just get the Kardashians, right? At least with The Bachelor, there's more variety in the show. Is that a correct way of saying this?
I think so. Okay.
I'll leave it there before I get in any trouble.
Okay. Yeah, I would go to The Bachelor. Obviously, I'm watching this season, and Madison survived last night, which is very good for me.
This is the Auburn girl?
Yes.
Okay.
The love of my life.
The love of your
probably,
life.
It's probably not going to win, but... Because
are you
this Peter guy?
Are you
adult.
The consolation prize for Madison?
Would
you make yourself available for that?
We need to arrange this.
My buddy already signed me up for the next season because people think she might be the Bachelorette. So when I go to when you said no take backs because you said I can go to Nashville next month for the SEC tournament. My entire goal it's not to put on quality radio that week during the SEC tournament. It's not to cover.
Wait a minute.
It's not to cover for ESPN Arkansas in the best way possible. It's to meet Madison. Because she'll be down there because her father's the assistant coach for the Auburn basketball team. I just want to put you out on
you
the
may,
front of that.
Well, and when you say, Matt, you got to understand this. When he says meet her, he means gawk at her from across the court.
Yeah.
Where she's sitting. He doesn't mean like physically get up and go talk to her. He doesn't mean get up and introduce himself to her. He doesn't mean, you know, try to give... his phone number to her or business, get her phone. That does
hard.
Not mean that does not what he means in any way, shape or form.
Absolutely not. And as smooth and as silky
he
as
doesn't
I sound.
Mean the exchange of actual
contact
words.
Information. Well, there were
or human contact.
Words might come out. They just might sound weird.
Words that she would hear.
She might not be able to understand it. For you
when
listeners,
you say meet, you mean like you're in section at the media table, and she's in section 107, and you've got binoculars out just looking.
Look at a picture with her. Jeez, I mean, listen, as smooth and silky as I sound on this radio show every morning,
it is
hard to listen to me talking to a cute girl. Unless I have just no chance. Well, I say that. When it comes to my buddy's girlfriends and the girls that I know I have no chance with, it's easier for
when
me.
There's no pressure.
Yeah, there's no pressure
when,
at all.
When it's two free throws... At 16:42 to go in the first half, you know, all cord, no board, you know.
So, unless I have some liquid courage in me, which typically still doesn't help, whatever. All right,
then the words just flow.
They just come right out. They just come right out. All right, Matt.
He's got game then.
Would you rather have Ty get a mohawk or a mullet?
I got a haircut this week.
I'll go mohawk. He doesn't have the courage to do it. But.
I'm still getting a mullet, so... I think Steven at the end of the month is going to give me a chop on that. Do you ever think you'd do a radio talk show with the guy with the mullet?
You could do the new style of mullet where they like shave the sides and then you just got the party down the back.
Yeah.
Business in the front, party in the back, Tommy.
I think they would probably, I think you in a mohawk would be interested. But you don't have the guts for that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm soft when it comes to that.
Would you rather lose the ability to lie or believe everything you're told?
Lose the
ability to lie or believe in everything that you're told.
Tommy just
I'm perplexed on this one. I don't lie. So I guess I could live with losing the ability to lie.
Believe everything you're told. I feel like I'm not a liar for the most part. I feel like I'm a straightforward person, so I'd probably go with that one.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.